Hello and welcome to the Better HD Podcast Radio Show. This is Bruce Hilliard with today's guests, three guys out of a five-piece metal band from England called Redline, speaking to us from over the pond. Three guys, one phone. Here's Redline.
Show with Bruce Hilliard, today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by your future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Well, let's start out with, how were you guys formed? How was the band formed? Were you a newspaper ad or Match.com?
No. Oh, it's a long old story. Mark and I have known each other for quite a few years, and we've always done various bands together. And one of the many sort of versions of the band sort of fell apart. And then we both got an interest in the Isle of Man CT races. And we go there every year on the bikes, and we decided, I don't know what it's like in the States, but over here, every time the Formula One's on the TV, there's that chain, the Fleetwood Mac song.
Yeah.
Does Formula One, and it's played all the time. And there's nothing for the bikes. And we thought, you know what, we should write a song for the Isle of Man CT. And we wrote King of the Mountain, that then got used on the TV. And really, that sort of formed, that's the reason for writing a whole load of new songs. And we've got an album out, and got the song on the telly, and we've had it on the pinball machines and video games and all sorts. So that was the catalyst, I guess, really.
Yeah, I saw that. Who am I speaking to?
It's Aid.
Aid, okay, that's what I was thinking. Okay. You're one of the founding guys.
I am one of the founding fathers, yeah. There's a big rocky formation around the corner with my face carved into it. It's amazing.
That's wonderful. They call that Mount Rushmore in America. So that's got to be the coolest thing ever, having your music played on like video games and pinball machines and stuff like that.
Bruce, I can't tell you. It's quite surreal, actually, because, we do the whole thing because we enjoy it. That's the most important thing. We all get on really great as a band, and we have some good fun with it. And it's, we've all got regular sort of jobs and families and all the rest of it, but this is a real sort of thing that, you know, when you're a sort of spotty youth, and for my personal sort of side of things, I heard Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf, and it completely changed me. Yeah. I heard Van Halen play a guitar, and that completely changed me even further. And I've never been quite the same since. So to get half a chance to do something approaching those sort of things, it's fantastic, you know.
It's funny you mentioned Bat Out of Hell. That's Todd Rundgren on all of that guitar.
That's right, yeah, indeed it is. And still got the best motorbike guitar sound I've ever heard.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. So you got Chris. Chris is the other guitar player, right?
That's right, yes.
Yep. So I joined the band not long ago, maybe about 2.5 years.
He's the new guy.
Yeah. So I'm the baby.
Young Chris.
Okay, and then you have Reg on bass.
That's me, yep.
Reg.
I've only been in the band for, 7 or 8 years, I guess?
Yeah.
Not even a decade yet.
Reg and I go back a long time. As, again, sort of 17, 18-year-olds, wanted to live that rock and roll dream. I answered an advert that Reg had put out in the local, Y magazine.
I was living out in the country, south of Birmingham, and there wasn't a great deal going on when I was 17. I kind of auditioned for a million bands that were all just not very good, and I needed to. So yeah, I spread the net a bit wider and put an ad in the local paper and met Aidy through that, and we've been good buddies ever since, making a noise and all of that stuff.
Yeah,
For God, I don't know what's that.
Well, you're only 27 years.
Don't even go there, Rich. It's longer than I care to remember.
So, Kez and Mark are not at the meeting, so they're the ones that you select for intense criticism. That's the rule. So we talk smack about them and tell them not to listen to the episode.
They're used to it.
We might need a lot to go through.
So tell me, let's talk about Gods and Monsters. What was the inspiration behind that?
A few people have commented we've got a slightly darker side to the new stuff from the last album. And do you know what? It's quite a heavy sort of doomy sort of riff almost. And Mark does the lyrics, and we keep an eye on the news and everything else, and we get as frustrated as everyone else about the general world politics. And it just came out of that, really. Religion and politicians seem to cause a lot of trouble, and that's where it sort of stemmed from, really, the idea.
And who better to talk about it than you guys, really?
I think it's
a good setting like for regular, it.
I'll just say we're just like the regular guys, you know, who come and see our gigs. We're just normal, regular people looking at the world in the same way that everybody else does. And,
I'm not.
Okay, well, he's not.
You're not normal.
Just that kind of messed up. You feel you don't have much control about what's going on and, you know, all of that. And it's
desperate stuff as well. I mean, it's some of the things going on, man. You know, where do you go with it? The people you think are the leaders and the people to look up to.
Yeah, it's
they seem the most corrupt. And they're
making it up along with the rest.
They're not making it up as they're going along. And of course, we've got Brexit. You may have heard of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all it's all they've talked about for about 3 years over here. We're no nearer sorting it out, and it defies belief. And now, you lose all faith in the people that should be cast iron, arrogance of virtue, and they're not. And it's all along those lines, really, just questioning the whole.
I've always felt that way too. They should be our best and brightest. We're going through an impeachment with our president over here. We got you top.
Yeah.
We're kind of running parallel with you at the moment, I think. We thought you guys had it bad, and then the wheels came off on our side as well.
You can't top us.
We've got Mini-Me in charge over here. Mm. So, Mini-Me's in charge over here. It's a Trump, you know. So, it's all... you can't believe it, actually. I mean, we've had two prime ministers that haven't been actually voted in on an election in a row.
Nobody
voted by... What, 2,000 members of the Conservative Party have actually voted them in, and now we're stuck with them. And then no one wants a Labour government here to say, hey, I don't know, someone will get political.
Gods and monsters.
Okay.
As we sometimes say, politicians say, or politics is just show business for the ugly people.
That's right.
Because, you know, they're all interested in their ego.
Could you put that quote to Chris Bassanet?
I think it's brilliant. I'm glad you figured it out. Maybe that'll be the next title cut for your next album.
Well, why not?
Entertainment for ugly people. Is that what it was?
Showbiz for ugly people.
Show business for ugly people. Brought to you by Redline. Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, right. Now I'm getting trouble from the person I stole it from.
Listen to the state.
And then, of course, Killer. Wow. There's some awesome guitar. I mean, everything is cool, but I'm a guitar guy. I play guitar myself, and I hear some tapping. I hear some all the stuff you're talking about, the Van Halen, and oh, wow, great stuff.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. Wow, that's, again, that's a riff that Chris came up with. And again, it was, this seems a natural sort of fit somehow with the lyrics, which is, again, exploring a bit of a dark side to humanity at the moment, with the sort of killings and shootings and things like that, and just trying to work out what the heck's going on. It's bizarre.
Well, here's kind of a crazy question. Do you guys celebrate Halloween over there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Not quite like you. You go mad for it. It's getting that way. We've got, you can have holographic ghosts and all sorts of things now at the door. And
We always did, but that's just me. It's become more because you guys do trick or treat and all of that stuff.
Yeah,
and that,
yeah.
That isn't something we used to do, but it is something that happens now. It's kind of crossed over. But I mean, Halloween is obviously an ancient thing, and yeah, we've always celebrated it. Really,
yeah. Yeah, it's getting more like everything. It's getting a bit more commercialised over here.
It always got tied up with us with a thing we call Bonfire Night, which is obviously Halloween's 31st of October, but Bonfire Night's the 5th of November, and that's all about when Guy Fawkes tried to blow up Parliament, going back to our previous conversation. That would be a bad thing.
Yeah, right idea. Though.
It's one of the many... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I said it's always important to keep the interviews cohesive, so I'm glad we tied that all together.
Right.
I was just going to say that, you know, what actually is being celebrated at Guy Fawkes Night or Bonfire Night is something that didn't happen, you know, because it didn't manage to blow Parliament up.
Yeah.
So, you can celebrate with anything, something that did happen or that didn't happen.
No, but we do, because Guy Fawkes Night, we're burning Guy Fawkes. He was killed for treason, and that's what Bonfire Night.
I hear this word being pumped around a lot lately.
Treason. They took the picture of his body to the four corners of the round, didn't they? I think.
It was undrawn and
crawled.
Yeah.
We don't mess about over here, Bruce, I'll tell you. Head on a stake outside the Houses of Parliament, something like that.
Another interesting thing, and I told somebody, I'm interviewing a band from England called Redline, and they said, England, you can walk across the street and they have a different accent. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. What happens if you move? Do you have to start speaking differently, or what do you do?
No, you go around with like a big piece of, like a big writing pad on your and a pen and just write things down for people.
it is kind of weird. You can go 5 miles down the road, and I mean, you'll know where somebody's from, even if they're from the next town or whatever. It can be that stark sometimes.
Do you know what? It's only a small place by comparison, but there are so many accents.
It is. I mean, you could probably drop the UK into one of the states. Probably, I don't know.
I dare say.
It is. Yeah, you can go 5-10 miles down the road, and the accents are a little
different. Have you heard of the Black Country?
No, I haven't.
Well, Black Country is north of Birmingham. It's where the heavy industrial stuff sort of started out way back when. And it's where Wolverhampton, places like that.
It's where Robert Plant's from.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They speak in a language that I've lived in Birmingham all my life, and I can hardly understand those boys when they get going. Yeah, so it's as strong as that sometimes. You've got Geordie from Newcastle, and the Scottish, and the Cockneys. Cool, blimey, mate. And all that. It'll sound like Van
Dyke,
actually, in London. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, the UK would actually fit into our state of Oregon, I understand. So that would baffle me to go from, like, you know, one town in Oregon to another town and have people speak differently to the point where you could identify where they're from. That would be strange.
Yeah.
But I guess it's from, obviously, in the old days, people didn't travel. People didn't. So they were just stuck in their little villages and wherever they were from, and they, for their families for generations. And so everybody went their own way a little bit, I guess.
I guess that's why I still have some of them, like, webbed toes, you
know. That's right,
Sixth finger, you know.
Yeah. you might have, Chris has got a funny accent. He's from Coventry. Which is only 5 miles down the road.
Well, to be fair, as you've noticed, the two other gentlemen have an accent of their own, which is kind of a Birmingham accent, which I have to say, it's a really great accent not to have.
Yeah.
What does it sound like? What's the difference?
If I was a phoneticist, is that the right word?
Maybe.
There's probably a very technical reason.
It's probably quite a dull accent, the Birmingham accent.
It almost to me sounds so. I'm not from England at all. So I'm kind of the wild card, the kind of, you know, the exotic little bit that they put in here to make things, you know, put a little bit of chlorine in the gene pool kind of thing.
Where are you from?
Well, a lot of people ask me that, and usually I go like, I will have a guess, and then I speak a little, and they go like, are you from Canada? Are you from the US? Are you from South Africa? Are you from Australia? That I might. Which is obviously all wrong.
Yeah.
And then I just give them a little hint and speak in the accent that most people think, you know, my country of origin would speak like. This is usually an accent like this, yeah? And then they get a little bit scared because they tried to take over the world one time and it didn't work out, yeah? And then I turned into this Kent version of myself.
That's Coventry.
Well, that's Coventry, yeah.
So that does that mean
I'm from Germany to you know, to just release the tension here that was helpful.
I figured it out. I was trying to figure out if you were a god or a monster.
Oh, well.
Ooh, nice one.
I don't know.
I'm really an angel.
You're an angel?
Yeah. How about you about the riff to Killer, right?
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, that riff came a little bit from, I was listening to Judas Priest's latest album, which I think is called Firepower or something.
Yeah, that's right.
And that kind of was the inspiration. Funnily enough, they're kind of, you know, British heavy metal as well. So
yeah, also from Birmingham, from the Black Country. Yeah. Or Birmingham's from Black Country, yeah.
So that maybe a little kind of a, where the inspiration came from like, you know, a big heavy riff that kind of drives the thing.
Yeah.
And then everything else we just made up as we went along.
Incidentally, Bruce, you might not know, or you may know, there's Black Sabbath up and around here, and there's an exhibition in Birmingham at the moment celebrating 50 years, and they've credited the whole heavy metal sound to Black Sabbath due to the heavy industry and the ironworks and beating machines and all sorts of stuff, and just the general grime and loudness of it all. And they reckon that's, I mean, Ozzy used to work in a, I mean, they worked in factories and things like that. The whole area back in the day was pretty, it's full on industrial.
I mean,
That's where they think the birthplace and the whole sound came from, really.
Well, let's be honest, it rains about, 9 months out of the year. You don't make like Beach Boys music when you're in.
I can relate to the rain. Yeah, I come from a rainy area of Washington State.
Yeah, exactly. Seattle is has a bunch of season as well, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But back to Black Sabbath, you recorded this album at Rockfield Studios, correct?
We did indeed. The very famous.
Very cool. Very cool experience.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's one of those bucket list things, really. Everyone that you've ever liked has been there at some stage in their career, and it was down the road, almost 100 miles away, and we had to do it, and we did. And it was great. And funnily enough, we were there. They were recording a documentary about Rockfield Studios. And Tony Iommi was in the studio next door doing a bit for some...
I don't
think it's been released yet, has it?
They're still recording it, I think.
Yeah.
So Bohemian Rhapsody was recorded there, I understand.
That's right, yeah.
In the room we were in, yeah.
And the piano that Freddie used is still there. It's the same piano.
Wow.
It's got to be the most photographed piano in the world, because everybody who goes in there wants to sit in and pretend they can play.
I played the thing badly.
Rock-handed.
Yeah, I've got a video of that, and, three seconds will always be mine.
So you could say that you wrote Bohemian Rhapsody now, right?
Well, I played a rendition of it.
A rendition, yeah. And it's pretty cool, though, because obviously the film came out last year, and what they did for the studio, it wasn't... They went to the studio to take some photos to make their sort of camera look like the studio. It wasn't the same place, but it had the same sort of feel. It too, with tape machines everywhere. Yeah. It still looks very similar, I should imagine, to the mid-70s.
I mean, it's not a museum; it's a working, living studio that they're still there, making music with people every day. It is an amazing place. It's got a massive history.
And we had the guy producing it, Nick Bryan, who's Bryno. He's been there since he left school, and he's been started off as a T-boy, then the engineer, now producing. And the stories he was telling us about Oasis and Thunder and the Darkness and all these sort of people, it's just legend. The place is magic, actually. It really is magic.
It was a privilege.
It really was a privilege, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm envious.
Well, they should make it a museum if it ever stops trading, but I don't think it'll ever stop trading. So many people just want to be there all the time.
I think rain's inspirational, though. It kind of keeps you inside. Where I come from, we formed what we called garage bands, and everything was to get out of the rain, basically. But yeah, and then the guy with the loudest amp was the lead guitar player. The guy with the PA was the singer, and that's how you chose who played what. If a guy had a van, he was the manager.
I should be our manager then. I'm in charge of logistics.
Well, I want to thank you guys for your time. You're awesome. I wish you the very best, and I'm going to be watching for you, and hopefully be playing in Seattle someday, and you'll cop me a ticket, and I'll show up. And
you will be first on the list, Mike.
We would love to. We're one of our
things. We've got to get over to the States. We sold quite a lot of albums on the last one, Vice, over in America, and we've had some really good feedback. We've been talks about doing a few things over there, but nothing's finalised as yet. But as and when we do, mate, we'll have a pint and we shall chew the fat with you when we see you.
That's a good plan. Well, enjoy your evening.
Thank you, Bruce. You take care, mate.
All right. Talk later.
Cheers, brother.
Love you, leave you.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye. listening to the Better Each Day podcast radio show with Bruce Hilliard. We'll be back with a new horizon, but until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.